Dear venerable sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, we are going to start another question and answer session. As usual, we'll start with the written questions. We'll invite Halakon to present the questions already written and presented.
Namasarai. Venerable sir, yesterday you mentioned that a person should not look into the aspects of mentality and materiality by observing the experiences in everyday life. When I was thinking of your statement, now I realize it is true. A person can go crazy if he or she tries to do this. But I am puzzled a little bit. How can a person experience the Namarupa Parichcheda Jnanaya, learning the thorough understanding and knowledge of mentality and materiality by just observing them during meditation sessions. At times when I go for nature walks of 1 hour, I make it a point to categorize name and form through what I see and feel during this time. Please explain how to master these. From life after life, we are so used to see these as me, I, or mine. I don't know how to accomplish this type of wisdom. Thank you so much for giving me Dhammadana.
The discernment of the mind and the matter, the mind and the body of name and the matter, it's which you should do deliberately or something happening, is a fair question. When and where you practice, it gets incorporated into a system, and it is something happening within you rather than you deliberately try to understand or try to discriminate this is nama and this is rupa. So when and where you try to do it in a deliberate way, conscious way, and willful way, it is not mature enough. So much so you are learning. After a while, it is automatically happening. Then only that can, it is called, it is worth call it a jnana or wisdom. So therefore, at the beginning, you may do just like in walking, as far as you are noting left leg, right leg, you are still familiarizing this walking. And the day you start effortless walking and be aware the what is happening, then onward it is worth calling walking meditation. Till death you appear like apprentice. Likewise, this is also very difficult. Whenever you read that in a book, whenever you happen to listen, then onward you feel like doing it deliberately. As far as you are doing, the real Namarupa Parichcheda Jnana is not up to the mark. So let the mindfulness lead the meditation, let the experience lead the meditation, then this jnana will reveal by itself. So that is the point where the theoretical understanding and the practical knowledge getting mixed up and ultimately become a problem. Whenever Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw was writing treatise on Namarupa Parichcheda Jnana and all the practical things, he never gave it to someone because he thought whenever someone read it, he or she will get complicated with the meditation. They try to do it deliberately. Ultimately, Venerable Jnana Ponika convinced him, never mind Bhante, we will publish it. Those who have the practical and pragmatic view, get this understanding and still not get mixed up with in practice. So in the book, Mahasi Sayadaw has written a note that whenever someone read this kind of thing, they often make it a point to get complicated, putting the theory knowledge in front of the practice. So therefore, it is only a trial and error method available. Please carry on. And the only thing you have to understand, as far as you are mentally involved in discriminating this is mind and this is body, this is nama and this is rupa. So much so, your knowledge is not mature. As you keep on practicing one day, it will happen automatically. Till that, you have to patiently practice meditation, practice mindfulness.
Yesterday's my experience. Position sitting, primary object breathing. I was observing breathing in and out. After a long time, I came to a state where I could not clearly recognize the breath in breath and out breath. In breath and out breath. I feel air exchange happens from one side to another side. But I had a difficulty to identify which side is mine. Up to this point, I was saying in mind, in and out. Then I stopped it and started to say, I feel. Then in a while, I have a feeling that we read it yesterday. Was it read yesterday? Anyway, shall I read it? Somehow it has got mixed. But I had a difficulty to identify which side is mine. Up to this point, I was saying in mind, in and out. Then I stopped it and started to say, I feel it. Then in awe. After some time, I could feel the breath as a continuous thread. It was like looking at a carpenter sawing a piece of wood. Saw is moving up and down. I am looking at the cutting point. I thought this must be ekagata. Though I got a great effort to come to this point, I didn't have any excitement when I got it. I felt it is just another road sign. Time to time, I was distracted by other thoughts, felt like dreams, but quickly came back. After this, I passed a stage, feel like confused. I was awake, but felt like I was in sleep, no excitement, not unhappy too, but I was bored. Still, I had the focus on my primary object. I did not feel the breath touching the nose. Somehow, I knew I was breathing. At one point, breath was getting smaller and stopped. I was a little scared. Again, normal breathing started. Seek further advice.
So when and where you focus the attention to this materiality and the in-breath and out-breath movements, that means you have done away with your sensuous feeling, you have done away with your sensuous perception, sensuality. So you can take the materiality, the matter, the in-breath and out-breath as your pivotal point, your reference point. When you keep on continuing with that, that matter will be replaced by perception of the matter. Rupa will be replaced by Rupa Sanya. Then it appears like just a concept. The matter appears something, reality. You can see this is in-breath and this is the end of the in-breath and this is the beginning of the out-breath. And likewise you can see when and where the matter gives rise to the matter, the perception of the matter, it is almost like a volatile and it is not so concrete like matter. So when that happens, you don't know whether you are dreaming or you are in the reality. Or you are the mind get confused between the concept and the reality. This is the way the dream world is happening. But here the advantage is, your historical development or chronological development is there. So therefore you know the matter was there. More and more you become immediate and face-to-face, diligent and vigilant on the matter. They become just like a concept, just like a perception. And again, that through that perception, the reality can happen. From that reality to the perception, matter to antimatter to energy, energy to matter, the changing takes place. So this area is somewhat bewildering, somewhat confusing. But the yogi, the practitioner, whenever go to the matter, feel confident. Whenever go to the perception of the matter, become lost-like. But anyway, they are reciprocal each other. You have to train a long time to understand the ambiguity between the concept and the reality. And there you doubt your own experience. Am I really in a realistic world or am I in a concept? So this is a kind of a challenge. If you have the faith, if you have the precepts, that's a morality. And if you have the mindfulness to guard you, then you feel like adventurous to go forward. If you have no faith, you start entertaining doubts. If you have no precepts, you will attribute this is to the lack of precepts and wrong interpretation can happen. If you are not guarded by the mindfulness, you can't proceed. So therefore, when it is happening, well, instructed yogi will take it as a challenge and train your mind further and further to familiarize the situation. And that is the point you can see, mano pubbangama dhamma, mano siddha manomaya. Everything is led by mind, mano pubbangama, and the mind is the most important, and everything is mind-made, manomaya. So there you can understand the concept can be a reality or reality can be a concept depending on your mental situation. So therefore you are fighting and you are developing envious situation, desire, hate, everything on this such a volatile situation. And you understand then how much is the ignorance is playing. So you must train as much as possible towards this rupa sanya. It's almost like a mirage, it's almost like a dream, almost like a holographic picture. It is a holographic, it is three-dimensional, but you can put the hand inside. That is how it happens. So you can see the magic of the mind. So it's very interesting part. If you have the faith, if you have the confidence, if you have the precepts or morality, and if you have the mindfulness, so be armed with these three and let the mind to get acquainted with this one as much as possible.
Venerable Bhante, how does one know when one is not mindful while in meditation? I am gradually learning to be face to face with phenomena unfolding during meditation. When I encounter novel things, for example, seeing common features of one and two objects, I try to remember the tips you or Buddha given to face those situations. It may take some time, 1 to 2 minutes, to contemplate, analyze, or remember. Is this against mindfulness practice? Is that a hindrance to be mindful? Is this being not mindful? Should I continuously be an active observer and not analyze anything? Sadhu, sadhu.
I think you, as a yogi, you don't have a choice. These are some episodes in your development. At the beginning, you try to be a mindful yogi, 100% in each and every object, so that you are striving to gain the mindfulness. For example, you try to see the each and every breath. But when you see the breath more closely, you see in breath, the inception is, you are not sure you are mindful or not. Middle, yes. When it ceases to exist, again you are losing the mindfulness. And when the out breath starts, again you gain the mindfulness. And through the middle and goes and disappearing into the unmindfulness. So you have later when you observe the breath, simple object of breath itself, in breath and out breath, the beginning and the end is unmindful. But each and every middle you are mindful. So therefore mindfulness is gaining. More you gain grounds of the mindfulness, you understand unmindfulness. Without unmindfulness, mindfulness cannot manifest. So therefore, later you understand, more you become mindful, that means more you become aware of the matter, you have to be aware of the antimatter. You have to be aware of the dark matter. You have to be aware of the dark energy. With that only, the picture becomes complete. That is what happened to the modern-day physics. They started with the matter. More and more you they go deep into the matter, particles and particle physics, everything. They found the matter is only 4% of the whole volume, or less than, 26% antimatter, 70% dark matter. So this 4% is less than 5%, insignificant. Even though you start with the matter, you end up with antimatter. Likewise, whenever you go to the object with the mindfulness, you find the majority of the part, you know, you don't know. You know you are not mindful. And you see, it is then you are more natural. Rather than expecting the absolute completeness in the mindfulness. So this is how you understand nothing substantial. This is whatever you claim as me, mine and myself, it's an invitation for the inquiry. Go deep, more you and go there, more and more you go there, you find that mindfulness is wrapped both the sides, it's unmindfulness. So more and more you understand it, it becomes adventurous and it becomes leading. It becomes episodes revealing the drama. Therefore, you have no choice. Only you have to follow the suit. And you will understand everything is relative. Mindfulness is not the hard and fast and the cut and dry thing. It is always with respect to, with related to unmindfulness. So mindfulness also not your, not me, not mine, and not myself. Unmindfulness is nothing to worry. Not me, not mine, not my mind, not myself. And the majority of the time you see unmindfulness is the nature. Mindfulness is here and there you find it. But anyway, you see the completeness of the picture. More you see, you find the completeness is more with the emptiness, more with something negative. And that negative is relative with the positive mindfulness. So this is, you can't claim I can do this and that. Whenever the meditation progress, these other things happen. So therefore, just let it happen and withdraw yourself as much as possible from willful action, volitional action, conscious action. So much so, meditation become natural.
Dear Venerable Sir, please explain when I am in sitting meditation and a thought pops into my mind. Like a movie I saw, or my ex-boyfriend, do I ignore the thought and go back to my primary object, the breath, or do I label the thought thinking, thinking, or movie, or XXX? I think I am supposed to ignore the thought and stick only with the primary object of my meditation. Could you please explain again how to avoid the primary object, the in and out breath, from becoming monotonous and boring? Thank you. Kind sir.
The early part of the question, when and where secondary object appears, if you are going to see details, the shape, the manner and all the kind of the secondary object, that means you are appreciating it and you are negligent and neglecting the primary object. So much so you will be taken for a ride. And you, so much so you may be daydreaming and fantasizing. That's why the Buddha mentioned, chakkuna rupan disva na nimittak gahi hoti nana vyanjanak gahi hoti yattvadikarna metam asangutam virantam uppajyati papaka kusala dhamma tassa samraya apajyati rakkati chakkundriya. While you are walking, if you happen to see, as I try to explain in the talk, If you're going to take detail approach and scrutiny of the what you see, that means you are inviting defilements. You are rejecting your primary object. You are away from the security. You are going to the more vulnerability. Under such circumstances, don't go in detail. If possible, just come back to the primary object. Or otherwise, understand this secondary object become more and more prominent. So much so, defilements happens. Because you are lucky enough, you have the primary object where you have the security. You have the benchmark, reference point. So it's clearly indicated, whenever the thought arises, if you're going to see the content of the thoughts, you are supporting thoughts. Instead, understand they are thought without a thinker. They are habitual thinking. And if you later will understand, more than 95% of your thoughts are without a thinker. So therefore, they are irrelevant. Whenever you are going to measure them, whenever you are going to see the content of them, from that way only you validate them. Otherwise, they are null and void. For example, in a society, in a gathering, if someone is suggesting this must happen and this must happen, all the kind of things, if the second person is not seconding, the suggestions never go to the minutes. But that has not been validated. Second person has to second it, and then only that suggestion become go into the minutes and become valid. Likewise, the thoughts can come and try to make you eccentric, pull you out from the primary object. And then by giving attention, you are seconding it. So if you are a well-instructed yogi, you take refuge as much as possible, the primary object. The second part of the question is, that is impossible because primary object is boring due to frequent association. Primary object is monotonous due to the frequent association and very lethargic. So that would give one term. He says the primary object is viraga. Viraga means opposite of raga. Raga means attractive, desirable. That's the root cause of the samsaric suffering. Viraga is less attractive, somewhat monotonous. So you must understand your security is there, where there is no desirability, no craving, no attractive nature. So therefore, you have to be, theoretically, you have to back this idea. The primary object is representing, it is not so attractive. But that is the security. So this is the change in our mentality. So therefore, this is a kind of a very interesting junction in the meditation. And you must let it season, let it imbibed, let it incorporated into your system without a rush. Slowly, slowly, let it happen. And it takes time.
Dear teacher, two times during this retreat, I have entered states of heightened mindfulness, where as pleasurable phenomena occurred. For instance, a sinking feeling and vibrations throughout my entire body. The process to get to these states started with first thinking, I have no like or dislike to go into the state or not. However, if I am honest, outside of the meditation, I do have a liking to enter these states. Where is the ignorance occurring? Thank you, sir.
This is a kind of a motivation theory. You should have some motivation for something to do, continue, strive, and to achieve a result. Otherwise, our evolution never takes place. This is how the natural selection is going to take place. So therefore, even though we try to train our mind not to chase behind the results, not to have liking and disliking, it is not the natural state of the mind. Our mind is always run by this pleasure principle and gaining and motivation. So therefore, when and where meditation is happening, when a good thing happens, so to say, always there's a kind of a underlying tendency of the desires there. But superficially or rationally, you may maintain, you may restrain yourself not to have liking and disliking. But sometimes later you may understand, you are talking about this, you are writing about this, you are referring to this because of a liking or disliking. But it is a directed disposition, not very clear, not at the superficial level. It's underneath there is. Keep it like that. Continue like they are. And this is not kind of sexuality or sensuality. This is something meditation experience. So therefore, you are not transgressing anything. But you have to see how the motivation is working. Is it under my control? Is it governable? It is under my jurisdiction? Or it is working in a hidden way? Is it good or bad? All these things are open issues. So till you go to a certain extent of confidence or contentment, this motivation is very important. So therefore, early part of our meditation, restrainment in the morality and concentration, highly we are motivated. More and more you go to the wisdom, when and where you go to the jnana level, you understand how you motivated for this kind of a regular timetable, how do you motivated for this kind of a activity because of result-oriented approach, because of the liking and disliking, but this is in the process of fading off. So repetitive application will take care, but willfully or by our volitional activities, nothing we can take it under control. The Buddha prescribed anupassana, a repetitive application, repetitive observation, sending the situation to the more advantageous situation. So please continue in the same direction.
Position sitting, primary object breathing. I feel I am getting stuck at one point in my breathing meditation. This happened several times. I can feel in-breath and out-breath gradually fading away with time. Then there is a state I can feel only the end of the out-breath. That also disappears and sometimes come back. I stop labeling and watch the quietness. Still I know I am breathing, though I cannot physically feel it. I can stay like this for a while, but then some other thought comes and I get lost. Seek advice. What should I do at this point?
So the main thing is lack of experience. But you have to understand meditation with the object of mindfulness with the object of this in-breath and out-breath, and when it is disappeared, the mindfulness without an object. Casually you can see inner thoughts and the pains and sounds, but they are not substantial enough. So under these two circumstances, which one you like, which one you find more confident, which one you might find more contented, which one you find more peaceful, still not decided. Something like when the plane is running along the runway, when it is gathering the momentum, is it losing the ground and try to get the aerodynamics on air. So before this oval ride and wheelbarrow ride tried this, no one expected such a weight to be balanced in the air. It is a matter of momentum. It's a matter of aerodynamics, and then it can be airborne. Likewise, our mind or mindfulness at the beginning take the runway, just like the breath, in-breath and out-breath. When it's gathering the momentum and you get the proper aerodynamics, it can airborne. It can go to non-material sphere. But it appears like something new. So that is the place where captain is issuing the message. Even the crew has to go and take their seat. Everyone must support with the tightened belts. So it's a very critical place. So likewise, when meditation becoming, losing the materiality and coming to the immaterial situation, each and every time, it's a very crispy experience. It's a very rejuvenating experience. So you have to master it. And there are some people like immaterial sphere, some people like material sphere. So that blocks you. But you don't know. Still you don't know which one appear more homely, which one appear more confident. So till that idea get precipitated, the liking and disliking get precipitated and get noted, you have to keep on practicing. This is a matter of not a stagnation. This is natural. Appear like this particular person, maybe I'm too early to predict it. This particular person is happy with the materiality. Feel uncertain, feel fearful, feel dangerous in the immaterial sphere. So therefore, naturally, mind seeks some objects. So more and more you practice with this idea behind as an instruction, you will learn the art to go from the material to the immaterial sphere and again immaterial sphere to come back to the material, again go to the immaterial and let the mind to roam, so to say, up to the date where you feel immateriality is your second nature. Immateriality is your real home. Till that you have to practice.
Dear Venerable Sir, I have been practicing mindfulness for 8 years. I go to a retreat yearly and during the rest of my life, I try to act mindfully the best I can. I have a concern about a phenomena that always seem to occur while on retreat. When my mind is calm and settles into the routine of the retreat, I begin to see images in the carpet as I do sitting meditation. Sometimes faces or symbols or elements like fire, etc. Is this normal? Is this a normal part of the process? Thank you for any insight into you may have.
Just like I tried to explain the early question, is it changing from materiality to or matter to perception of the matter? The thing become volatile, thing become more liquid-like. So even open-eyed can happen. So that is the place where the materiality gives rise to the rupa, gives rise to the rupa sanya. So whenever you feel rupa sanya, if you feel fearful, if you feel uncertain, if you entertain doubts, that is becoming a blockage. That is because of your egotistic idea. Because of your conceit, you feel the rupa is much more, rupa appear more good for your foundation than rupa sanya. So therefore, the advancement of the mind is blocked by this fear, by this entertainment of doubts and uncertainties or lack of faith or lack of preparedness or lack of radical reflection. So each and every stage you have to sacrifice, then only next stage will happen. So each and everyone is, every place, it is asking agreed or not agreed. If you agreed, not agreed, you will come back. If you agreed, you have to sacrifice little bit of your egotistic idea. When you are clicking agreed, you have to sacrifice little bit of your conceit, little bit of your desire. That's how it is progressing. So therefore, every time you have to commit yourself, you have to sacrifice the desire, egotistic idea and the conceit, and then it is proceeding. So therefore, go prepared don't block when this Rupa Sanya is going to happen. Take it as something, advancement, and see, am I ready to go into, and am I ready to go against the grain, and to get the full experience, then you will be advancing.
Dear Venerable Sir, it is appreciated if you give little more time for question and answers, at least 1.5 hours. Otherwise, we miss your valuable kamatahan. Sadhu, sadhu.
So, we'll ask Sunil whether he can allocate some more time. But anyway, we will take time for the written questions more and more.
Venerable Sir, could you explain what discursive means? You use the word when talking about vichara. Thank you kindly.
So it is churning about the same thing or tasting or discussing about, so to say, when you go to an object, you taste it, you experience it. The example given is, vitakka is like a bee come and resting on the flower. Vichara is the bee is roaming around the flower and extracting the honey and extracting the pollen. So it is just roaming. It is not merely coming and going to the flower. So coming is vitakka, and roaming around in the flower and gathering the honey and the pollen is vichara. And when you gong the bell, gonging, hitting is like vitakka. And then the humming sound disappearing, ringing sound is like vichara. It depends on the metal. If it's a bell metal, long rhythmic sound. If it's a dull metal, sound is no good. Likewise, whichever you hit it, you get the corresponding sounds. It is like discursive or discussing or this association with the same object called vichara.
Dear Bhante, should we practice Anapanasati all the time from morning to evening? May you have a very long life.
Whether you practice sati or not, you have to do anapana from morning to evening, otherwise you will die.
Dear Bhante, how could I recognize atapi from the controlling of the breath?
Controlling of?
The breath.
Controlling of the?
Breath.
Yeah, the energy has two types, dissipated energy and directed energy. Speed and the velocity. So like the energy has two types, directed energy and indirected energy. So when and where you are focused to particular object, that is called atapi with the discipline. Otherwise always we have energy undisciplined. So therefore that direction may be a manipulation, may be a taking under control, may be like bossy. So that is the type we call disciplinarians. But without being a disciplinarian, humbly or honestly, simply you can direct into that. So that is very difficult, specifically for the disciplinarian kind of people. So therefore, repetitive application you have to do to make it happen, to make in an effortless way. You are energetic, but not result-oriented. You focus without any expectation, that we can say atapi with the knowledge.
Dear Venerable Sir, how does one balance understanding the nature of impermanence in the modern world with our jobs and family responsibilities? How does one balance understanding the nature of impermanence in the modern world with our jobs and family responsibilities? Seeing the impermanence in all things is a sad state indeed. One cannot be crying at the sight of a beautiful green kiwi in this day and age, without being labeled as a crazy person. How do you balance awareness and still function in your day, in your lay life?
The impermanence has three facets. The impermanent nature and the sign that you understand the impermanent that everything is not clicking you, everything is not giving the blink for you, there are some signs, whether you like it or not, it really opened you to the impermanence. And through that sign, then you can look into impermanence and you can meditate with the view with, or prepared with the impermanence. So, anicchata, anicchata, anicchanupassana, anicca lakkhana. So, whether you like it or not, whether it's a modern world or traditional world, whether you young or old age, anicchata is a no. That is, it is not asking your will. It is not asking your consent. But occasionally, the click, sometimes, whatever the nicca sanya, whatever the permanent notion you have, my father died, or my child disappeared, or car got accident, and likewise you get. Everything is not clicking your anicchata, anicca notion. But when it happens, it is repetitively happening. If you are a wise person, you take that sign itself to apply the mind again and again to see whatever the permanent notion you have, intrinsic nature is impermanent. So therefore, when and where you try to condition your mind, the world telling it is permanent, you feel secure, but it's a mental disease. It's an aberration. It's an escapism. But if it is impermanent and there are some little windows and channels and avenues where you can see, and if you see through it again and again, and then if you are to see everything is impermanent, still you can live the same life. But you are in the correct foundation, so that we call radical reflection. We call wise reflection. Otherwise, you can say, no, even the Buddha is going to say it is impermanent. I say it is permanent. Yes, you can make your own the escape world and live in it. But death or at the mishaps, you are the loser. So therefore, consider it in the philosophical way. Am I to camouflage myself, escape myself, to take everything as permanent, pleasurable, auspicious, and under control? Or at least there are some inevitable evidences where it's impermanent. It is not auspicious. It is not beautiful. It is not within my control. Whenever this happens, how the mind is going to use the path, escapism, or reality. So the Buddha never influence, never direct someone to take this or that. It's very dangerous. No one can tell you to please see the world as impermanent or please see the world as permanent. That whether you listen to the other person or not, it's a completely open issue. So therefore very difficult, but keep it open. I am just adding little more literal understanding, literature, theoretical understanding, and put that, say, impermanent as three facets, impermanent nature. It is throughout. And different people understand impermanent through different signs, different objects, and repetitive application of it through the open window and see the everything in impermanent way is a meditation. So therefore, with that understanding, please continue meditation.
Venerable Thero, 3 years ago I saw in a vision a young man standing and smiling at me. Next day, using the computer, a video of the life of Jiddu Krishnamurti popped up. I never hear this name or knew anything about him. But I click on the video and I almost fell down when I saw this person. Same posture and night before in my vision. Same posture the night before in my vision. 2 months ago, passing by a temple in New York, I saw the bulletin for this meditation retreat and applied online, not knowing anything about your teachings. I know J. Krishnamurti has been helping me to find the right books and understand his teachings. It has been very hard for the last 3 years. But listening to you is like listening to him. This is my first retreat, humble and grateful to be here. Venerable Thero, this means that you are my spiritual teacher?
I get confused because I also has listened to the Krishnamurti, and he is the only person helping for you to be free thinker. Don't let the magic of the mind to lead you. Whenever you fix with your teacher, you are bogged down. You'll never progress. Krishnamurti told throughout his life, don't have any connection with the teacher, that is the blockade. And he gave a very nice Zen story, whereby a Zen master got a very nice log of sandalwood. So he started carving a Buddha image, and it is happening very nicely. So he is completely imbibed and he is carving. And the season is winter, no firewood at the fireplace. And the assistant person came and told Bhante, no firewood. Then he is not concerned, he is very sharp carving. Then he told us, use what is available and don't disturb me. And the assistant came again and told, Bhante, night is developing, temperature is going down, what to do? Then he told, whatever the, whenever he is carving, what is the pieces going out, sandalwood asked him to go and start the fireplace. And that also, not much, ultimately he found, quite later, the assistant is sleeping near the fireplace, is completely cold. He is very warm with the carving. And his mind is very warm. And he found what to do. Now it's too dark, too cool. Ultimately, he split all the image he prepared. Very nicely came at last. And he cut into and put into the fire. And gave heat to the assistant. And that is why, likewise, he says, your image must be cut into pieces and put into fire. Then only meditation can go. Otherwise, you develop affection with Krishnamurti or affection with Dhammajiva, whatever it may be. So this is our mind is always asking refuge outside. Of course, the Buddha is very good, I know. You have to have a faith. But you have to understand, Buddha is the only person to say, mind your own business. He says, like a loan. I can give my image and my faith and my teaching, take it and start the business. Once you get profit, pay back and be independent. So therefore, these are some of the tricks of the mind. May be good, some may be bad, I don't know. But whatever may be, if you keep the mindfulness in front, forefront, you can see if it is helpful. You are visionary, you are seeing Krishnamurti and coming to the retreat and everything is developing mindfulness, then I agree. If it is not so, I would say it's yet another trick of the mind.
Venerable Bhante, in your meditation book, you have instructed to look at the beginning, middle and the end of any sensory object. I can look at the beginning, middle, end of body sensations, taste and smell. But how to note that in thought, seeing and sound? Sadhu, sadhu.
So that means whenever you see the beginning, the middle and the end of the materiality, that your mindset is more armed, more prepared, then you must go to see the beginning, the middle and the end of the mental fact, mentality. So, it recognizes the sound, thoughts and kind of thing. Take the lesson from the materiality. For example, the breath at the beginning or as a beginner, you can't see the beginning, the middle and the end. You only see the middle. Middle of the in-breath, middle of the out-breath. Once you familiarize only, you can see or you can direct your mind to see the beginning of the in-breath. After long association with the single object. And last only you can see the end. Likewise, whenever in an emotional situation, whenever you are in a sound, when you are in the thought, you feel the middle. And if it's frequently happening, for example, you are a daydreamer, fantasizing person, and more thinking, then you can see when the thought come and in, will implanted and established, then you can see. And sometimes if you are mindful, you can see the disappearance. Or sometimes you can see your mind is jumping from one thought moment to the thought to another thought, and you only see the middle. So that means you are starting for the mentality. After long time only you can understand with the frequent, maybe a thought, or maybe a hate, or maybe a love, whatever may be the emotion, how it starts. More and more you go to the beginning, that means situation is more and more under your control. So there you have to understand, if you mark beginning, the middle and the end as 1, 2, 3, the meditation is going to 1, 3 format. You see the middle and then see the beginning and then the end. And that is very well explained in the Majjhe Sutta in the Buddha. And he says, when the mentality is the, if the mentality is your subject matter, just see the middle. Let it happen 1,000 times. And happening, see, when it's happening, see how much you can catch it. Before come up to the such a big mature situation, that means tracing towards the beginning. That's a word meaning of Yonisomanasikara. Yonisomanasikara means seen towards the beginning. This is how people diagnose diseases in the medical research institute. When that disease happening again and again and again, they announce in the national radio telling such a disease is there. Once the disease develops, these are the symptoms. Don't wait till the symptoms mature. Please report to the hospital with the early symptoms. Then, easy to recognize the root cause of the disease or the primary pathogen. When it become maturity become or disease become very prominent, and when the disease weaken the person, there are a lot of secondary pathogens come. So your diagnosis and identification of the pathogen, the virulent pathogen, is difficult. So if you are to understand the pathogen, you have to understand the early symptoms, and then still you have to trace to the root. This is what you call the science. That is what you call the Buddha. Buddha is always asking, see the root cause. So therefore, let the emotions happen. Let the mentality thing happen. Don't rush. More and more you happen, you have to understand, you see only the middle. And one thing which is recurrent again and again, then that you have to select that prominently arising mental part and see the rising area. The beginning part, and slowly, slowly it is going. That part is painfully slow. The tracing of the beginning from the middle to the middling is painfully slow. But anyway, it's an unreturned kind of a journey. And then only you can see the end. So therefore, understand you are in a progress, but don't try to be smart. Don't try to be accelerated. Let it happen in its own course and keep on practicing with your understanding of the beginning, the middle, and the end of the materiality, that means you are in a good shape.
Thank you, Venerable Sir. While I was meditation on my breath in sitting, I saw my neon purple light at first as a circle. Then it became a rectangle. And finally, it touched my face. Although I know I am to concentrate on my breath, I could not. Since the excitement, my heart was racing, and I could not stop thinking. So I could not stop thanking so many deities, etc. So I lost. A few years ago, I was able to bring the light to my breath, but I could not do any further. So I gave up and read books on Dhamma and others. Although I tried meditation, never this thing happened again until last night. I read that I am to stay in that light 1 to 2 hours. If I could not do before this, retreat is over. What would be my, if I could not do before this retreat is over, what would be my next thing to do? I tried this morning meditation, but too much excitement. I could not concentrate again. Thank you very much for your teaching.
I feel like an illegal love affair with the light.
Yes.
So, I feel sorry, because my advice was to keep the primary object in view with, as much as you associate the primary object, the light is the byproduct. I see the sign, but when and where the focusing happens, if you change the attention to the byproduct, your main product ruins. So therefore, first thing first. And these are the, Venerable Sariputta is mentioning, Bhava Tanha. Now you are not crazy behind the sexual and sensual thing. You are somewhat religious. You are associating an object, breath. And when it is happening, the light emerges, or lightness can happen, or different sounds can happen. Things have happened. So, if you can't discriminate the byproduct and the main product, your ignorance is pushing you to the more pleasure principle, to the byproduct. That means you are neglecting the main product, and then both ruins. So, therefore, keep the primary object in view with. As much as you are proceeding, this may be increasing, but clearly indicate that directedness or that vision is missing. So please reconsider, keep the primary object as much as possible, consider them as the byproduct and not the main product. And while continuing, not only with the light perception, with there are a lot of other ways to indicate the proximity of the meditating mind and the meditated object. When they come closer and closer, there are a lot of other ways and means to indicate the alignment, not only the light. So therefore, don't worry. As far as you are practicing, the mindfulness will increase. So look and measure the progress in terms of mindfulness rather than the byproduct.
Dear Reverend Sir, if I compassionately listen to a patient's problems, then diagnose and treat the patient, can that be considered mindfulness? Likewise, a welder focuses on what he is doing, is that mindfulness? Or a carpenter or an architect focuses on the on his job, is it mindfulness? Anonymous.
The answer is, when the cat is behind the rat, you can see the sharpness. You can see how slowly, how mindfully and silently reaching the rat and catch it. It is the mindfulness. The Godwin used to ask, when you go to the bank and when the girl at the counter, when she is counting the notes, how efficient. Without looking here and there, it's completely continuing, no one can disturb. If you disturb, completely ruining. So that's also mindfulness. But no sampajanya. It is behind some object, tangible object. That tangible object undermines the spirituality of the progress, purpose. So therefore, when you are doing the mindfulness for the sake of mindfulness, so there is no other gain. So therefore, when you are selecting an object like breath, more you associate with the breath, longer you associate, you gain nothing. No political gain, no social, no economic. That is how the spirituality come into being. So all the other skillful people, they can divert their skillfulness into this spirituality. Then you select a verifiable object and a neutral object. Then it is spiritual. If it is economic object or political object, spirituality loses. So therefore, it is not there is a partial truth. So these techniques, this technical side is yes, but mindfulness in its association with the clear comprehension, the result-oriented nature is somewhat negative in this mindfulness meditation. Specifically in the way the Theravada tradition is presenting. But the American Buddhism, that is mindfulness for that kind of a purpose, for healing and for therapy or that kind of thing. So therefore now that business Buddhism and the mindfulness is being slowly become a subject for criticism. But when you do mindfulness for the sake of mindfulness, from the beginning to the middle to the end, there won't be any criticism. So therefore, take this technical part, take these tools, but put it into this the Sutra Sutta, the very first one, mindfulness with clear comprehension, no result-oriented, not result-oriented.
Bhante, thank you so much for taking the time to answer my question. Bhante, you said you have to kill your parents. Can you please elaborate on this? How is killing your parents any different than killing your illusions or misconceptions or any other of the many relationships you may have? With all due respect and humility, thank you.
So I am happy I am sitting behind the Buddha. So Buddha is the one, he says, your father is the ignorance and your mother is the desire. Without killing parents, you can't achieve the target. When the Jesus Christ explained this, he told, if you can't hate your parents, you will never become my disciple. It's never been properly interpreted in the Bible. And the Buddha mentioned in the aesthetic way, while my parents are crying and with the tears, I left my household. So different ways. So emotional people, or people with that square meaning of the words, have been really challenged by Buddha, but pani, using the word in such a way. So he's such a poet. So if it is impossible, please go home and kiss your parents. And love your parents, and you will be a very obedient child. Your parents will not assure any liberation. The Buddha is also father and mother, and he says, the day you kill your mother and father is the liberation.
Bhante, my primary object is breath. However, the breath became very subtle, which is hard to observe. As such, I changed my primary object to total body posture. Also, I found some involuntary body movements such as expansion, facial twisting, straightening the back. I simply observed without interfering. Am I doing the right practice? If so, what is the next step? Please advise. Thank you.
If your mindfulness is persistent with this body posture and understand the tiny things happening, and that means your insight or your attention is inwardly. And if you can keep on practicing the signal strength, how can I put it? Even a very tiny things, very insignificant signals emitted by your body also will be prominent. So that's a very good indication. And then the breath or rising and falling or anything can happen. Because your sensitivity increases. That is because the attention is inside, inwardly, not extrovert, introvert. So keep on, and more you keep it, more you observe your bodily metabolic things, you are not transgressing, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, verbal misdeed, so therefore your morality is 100% intact. More you practice, that morality will help you to calm down the body and the mind. The Buddha mentioned, avippatisarathaya ananda kusalani silani. Whenever your morality is very skillful, naturally mind become undispersed. Mind will calm, collect, fall calm and collected inside the body is a byproduct. But you can see the increasing of or time duration of the mindfulness increasing. If that is happening, please continue.
Dear Bhante, I had a weird and frightened experience in last Saturday. But I was hesitated to ask you about it, but in second thought, if I don't ask this to Bhante now, it would be never answered and I'll regret for a long time. So I will go ahead with my question. Last Saturday afternoon, when it was raining hard, I was in a very good meditative state because the heavy rain sound blocked all the background noises. I was observing my breathing, and somehow I realized that I was the breath. I was the breath. There weren't two separate things, that me observing the object. I was the object, the breath. I was harmoniously expanding and compressing into the vacuum-like space along with the subtle sound of my breath. I don't know how long it went on like that, but all of a sudden the world started turning. Oh, I was turning. I felt like I was riding a swing in an amusement park. I felt like I was about to burst out, breaking away, or falling apart, as if I was made out of logs that is about to collapse. What's happening? I thought. Is it the Mara trying to interrupt me? Or is it my egoism? I felt dizzy and confused. In my head, I was thinking, let it be. Just surrender. But also thinking, what if I faint? Then it would be a disaster. Just to be safe, I slightly opened my eyes and confirmed that everything is okay. It went on like that for about a minute and took a few more minutes to settle down. I have been practicing concentration meditation on breathing. This is my fifth year, and I practice 45 minutes daily and try to be mindful with my daily activities. I've experienced various, like other various phenomena like other meditators are already described, but I have never heard or read anything like this. What was I experiencing? Thank you, Bhante, Dhammajiva, with Metta.
So this, as the latter part of the essay indicates, when the meditation going on, when the alignment happens, so much of strange things happen. You are stepping into the unknown area or near novelty. When it is happening, that expansion is taking place, but you tend to think this experience is unique, and then that become an obsession for you. But if you can consider this is also yet another experience, then your progress will not be hindered. So therefore, whatever it happens, it is well and good. But you have to keep on practicing, and this is a kind of appreciation from the concentration. So it is always leading to the calmness and peace. Therefore, many get attracted to into that. But mindfulness is not only give the concentration, but it gives the wisdom also. Wisdom means this calmness never become prominent without the disturbed mind. The calming mind, calm mind, and the disturbed mind are black and white, yin and yang. So distraction must be there, and the concentration must be there, then only it become prominent. So when it is keep on practicing, that very concentration can happen in the different facets. So keep on practicing. These are kind of gifts, kind of endowment to say that you are on the correct path. Don't expect it to happen again, but get encouraged and continue and keep the mindfulness as the criterion rather than the concentration, then lesser amount of disappointments and progress will be steady.
Venerable Bhante, please explain a little more about applying vitakka and vichara, labeling and noting in regard to the six senses, touch sense, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling and thinking, to walking meditation and day-to-day activities.
Usually it is not advisable to use this technique for all. Apply only for your primary object. And once you learn it, that means in sitting, when and where in the in-breath and out-breath, if that is the primary object, develop the skillfulness with that. Even forget about the secondary object. Once that is happened, you may learn how to use in the walking meditation, left leg and right leg. Then slowly, slowly it is increasing. Otherwise, if you are going to apply generally, that means you are misusing the technique. So therefore, use the soft end and enter into that and then let it spread slowly, slowly. So use the primary object as your the starting point.
Venerable sir, during my walking meditation, I was at the point calm and happy. Then I noticed that my heart was beating very loudly and I could hear, I can feel the vibrations. So I looked my chest and ribs. It was beating so hard that I can see my name tag and clothes moving up and down. My feeling was not neither bad or anything. I was keeping my intention on my breath still. Then it disappeared within few minutes. This happened 2 days. And on the third day, when I tried, I was not able to concentrate since the anticipation. What should I do next? Thank you, sir.
So whenever it first happened, it's quite oceanic kind of feeling. But second time, third time, fourth time, that amplitude of that feeling reduces. Then you become normalized and then you can understand the beginning of the heartbeat, the middle of the heartbeat and the end of the heartbeat. At the beginning, you see only at the middle and it's very shaky. So more and more you practice with respect to the primary object, the secondary object called heartbeat also will start to see the bell-shaped curve. Starting very slightly and become very high and again goes back. And if you are sure, at the beginning, at the end of this beating movements, it end out with the mindfulness, you are progressing. More you practice the same, more you encounter the same, you will be more and more mastering the same.
Dear Bhante, I watch breath as the primary object. What is the benefit of watching the abdomen rising and falling? Would you please give me the basic instructions on watching the abdomen?
No, we are not telling. We say that start the meditation, whatever may be prominent. Not to understand all the objects, that is varietal entertainment. So therefore, this question is wrong.
The last question, I think I have to do some homework on it. And can I present it tomorrow first?
You are taking time. Please read.
Venerable sir, according to your advice, I have been continuing to see things as they are, which is the impermanence in everything. Even when I am not meditating, I see this nature. There is good and bad associated with it. The good is the gaining of the strength and power to improve tolerance. When anxieties, irritabilities, sad or disappointing feelings occur, instantly I realize these are not permanent. The negativity vanishes. This is an improvement, I believe. Acceptance, tolerance is good. On the other hand, I feel like I am getting out of touch of the normal norms and tendencies. I feel that I am drifting away even from extreme or maybe emotions. When I apply this into my insight meditation, now I see that there is nothing that can be called even as here and now. Because every minute and the present moment, when broken into tiny parts, the continuity of the breath and other aspects tend to disappear so fast. It is scary to me, but it doesn't happen often. This situation only exists with my meditation only certain. This situation only exists with my meditation only at certain times. But this idea or the truth of impermanence is always there. The good point is the tolerance of other people's weaknesses, and more importantly, looking deeply into my weaknesses, ego and sensitivities. However, solitude is good. Mixing with the nature is healthy. But drifting away from the real world may be not so good. It can bring about differences of opinions within the immediate family. I believe the answer might be to be quiet most of the time. During the practice of my breathing meditation, it vanishes so fast during variance of the process. Advise me, there are only issues. Advise me if there are any issues to deal with myself and my closest fellow human beings, which is only a handful. Thank you so much. Now I am unable to forget and forgive the subtle cruelties and tendencies of others. It is because of the fact everything changes. So feelings of hurt doesn't dwell in my mind. It is wonderful.
So with that all qualities, if you can listen to the basic instructions, you will understand how to accumulate the information, how to accumulate the experience. So therefore, adhere to your primary object. These are philosophical things. Use it in a beneficial way, as far as it is good. But otherwise, this can happen even without a retreat. You can fantasize. You can write on these kind of issues. But here, what we do is try to apply at least to the body, or to keep in the breath, or in the walking meditation, and try to see under the very nose, and how do you feel it, rather than the macro level. Macro level is very prolific. It's very lucrative, but no progress, no theme. So therefore, give a theme. Theme is the primary object. So then there may be kind of accumulation of the experience, and it is very practical.
The last two questions. This request is for administrators. I offer much merits for all the help and services providing to us by Yen Monastery. It was announced to attend all yogis on time for sitting meditation. I request to be relaxed on attending time on walking and sitting meditation. When a yogi meditator gain momentum on meditation, it is better to continue on the same. Trying to follow strict on meditation could disturb the goal of meditation. For your kind consideration. The other one, dear Venerable Sir, the Dhamma talks you are giving every day, including the question and answer sections, will you give them to the Wisdom Journal to publish? Wisdom Journal is the magazine of the monastery. Much thanks in advance.
Yeah, if the monastery is going to publish, we have no any objection. So they have to work in order to get it transcribed. Okay, we have taken a little more than yesterday. Anyway, we have see the end of the list of the questions. So now we are going to take time for walking meditation. We are about 35 to 40 minutes. After that, we'll be meeting here again for a group sitting meditation. Thank you very much for the participation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.